This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
For many of us, the day doesn't properly begin until that first cup, long black, flat white, oat latte. It's ritual, it's comfort and habit. Coffee has been part of human life for more than 600 years, and today we drink almost 2 kilos per person each year. I reckon I'm more than that. And many of us are very particular about how we take it. But what is it actually doing inside our bodies, especially when it comes to blood pressure? Well, Claire Collins is from the University of Newcastle and joins us. Claire, welcome to Drive.
Yes, welcome to Drive. And I think we've just got to start with the good news is that on the balance, drinking coffee drinkers are less likely to die from any cause, especially heart disease. So you don't need to stress and put your blood pressure up. And also less likely to develop diabetes and things like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease. But I was specifically asked by the conversation if I could have a look at the impact on blood pressure, because I think they're a bit like you, real coffee addicts. And so the answer is, of course, that depends. And some of the things it depends on is whether you're talking about short-term or long-term. And it really, really depends on what your blood pressure is now. So if you don't know, there's the first homework. Go and see your GP or go into a chemist and get your blood pressure checked. But caffeine is a stimulant. So that's why there's that short-term increase in blood pressure. And it peaks around, half an hour to a couple of hours after you drink your coffee. So here's the second tip. If you're going to see your GP to have your blood pressure measured, do not drink coffee. Oh,
that's what I've been doing
wrong.
In
those couple of hours before you go.
Ah, well, that's really interesting because I saw my doctor this morning, and of course I was fasting, and normally I sneak a coffee in, but I thought, no, I'll do it properly. I won't have any coffee whatsoever, and my blood pressure was perfect. Absolutely
there
perfect.
There you go. There you go. Look, honestly, I've been caught out myself too. I go to see the GP and she goes, oh, your blood pressure's really up. I go, what? And that put my blood pressure up. And then I went, oh, actually, I'd had 2 coffees that day. So, but the amount can be really huge. So a normal blood pressure, it should be around 120 over 80 or less. But it can put your blood pressure up anywhere between 3 to 15 on either of those numbers.
Wow.
So it really can give you a false high blood pressure reading. But let me tell you about some of the research studies, and there's two that I think add a bit of light. So there was a big review, and it pooled studies to get more than 300,000 people in the study, and they followed them over time, and about 65,000 developed hypertension. So that's, now we're talking about 140 over 90 or more.
Wow.
And what they found was that it didn't matter how they looked at the data, there was no relationship with drinking coffee and developing high blood pressure over time. There are a few caveat studies, and I think they're explained by the next one that was done. This one, they only recruited older people, 40 to 80. They followed this group for 19 years, and over that time, they had 1,800 whose blood pressure became 160 over 100 or more.
Wow.
Now, in that group, there was double the risk of dying from heart disease, like from a heart attack or stroke. But for everyone else, even the people who had 140 over 90, so long as there was their caffeine intake wasn't ridiculous, they did not have a higher risk of developing high blood pressure. So the bottom line, you really need to know your numbers. And you need to know you, because some people genetically are very sensitive to caffeine and some doesn't matter at all. So you need to know your numbers. You need to know how caffeine affects you. Caffeine does stop you sleeping. So from the afternoon onwards, just switch to decaffeinated. And if you do have that high blood pressure, go and talk to your doctor, because in Australia, half of the people who have high blood pressure, it's not under control by any stretch of your imagination. So aim to moderate your coffee. Most of that other evidence about, living a long life is around that four cups a day. So, there's some amazing decaf.
Right.
If you're a real addict, just switch to make some of your coffees decaf.
Claire, I have been hunting down decaf for years, and I've never enjoyed it, could never find one. And I can't say brand here, but I found the ultimate decaf beans. So I've bought myself this machine that's got sort of two little things. One I put the normal in.
Yeah.
The other one I put the decaf in now. And from, you know, 12 o'clock onwards, I press the decaf button and I trick myself into thinking I'm having a really lovely cup of coffee and it tastes amazing. And prior to that, I tried and it was like, oh, I felt like I was drinking battery acid.
See, never give up. We're spoilt for choice in Australia. And what I find exciting, like I've been writing about coffee for 10 years. I wrote my first conversation article in 2015 when people were bagging it out. And there are so many health benefits and they come from the plant components in it. And they have weird names like K-Wol and Capistrol. And believe it or not, they actually induce what's called apoptosis, which is cell death in the cancer pathway.
Oh.
And then these other ones, chlorogenic acid and caffeic acid, they help improve glucose regulation and the cells take up glucose. That's the likely reason why they're associated with a lower risk of type 2 diabetes. And you know what I also think, you know, why there's better mental health in coffee drinkers? I think it's because we often meet people for a coffee or we go for a walk to have a coffee.
It.
So, yeah, so don't give it up.
Nope.
Know your blood pressure numbers. And switch to decaf so you get all those phytonutrients, you know, if you are very sensitive to caffeine.
So that was going to be my question. If you, in the decaf, do you still have all those other beneficial compounds?
You do.
So it doesn't take it out?
You do. And in fact, in some of the studies, not all of them asked about decaffeinated, but a lot of the diabetes ones did ask about that. So, yeah, you still get all the phytonutrients. And so there you go. Just it doesn't have to be a guilty pleasure anymore.
Claire, I'm so glad we had this conversation. It's brilliant.
Yes, me too.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure.
Thank you. That was Claire Collins, Laureate Professor in Nutrition and Dietetics from the University of Newcastle.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.